Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
BT, it's Al back on the fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to some of the calls here. We'll do the Perfect Parlay Pick segment coming up in about 20 minutes or so, maybe a little bit less than that, maybe 15 minutes or so. But for now, we'll get back to the calls. There is a list of things, BT, that I've had that's been building all week that we didn't even get into some of these things. Maybe we'll mention that, one or two of them, before we say goodbye here. By the way, quick mention, I talked about this with you off the air. Columbia beating Villanova the other day. You didn't even see that.
I didn't notice that.
My Columbia Lions taking out Villanova. First time they had a win over a Big East team in 10 years, I think.
Is that true?
They beat Villanova. I remember that because I was doing the games. I didn't do that game, but I was doing the games back then. Shout out to them.
Nice
I know you're
job,
all pumped up
Lions.
About St. John's. What do you got this weekend with the Johnnies?
Johnny's tomorrow, 2 p.m. tip over in Queens, Quinnipiac, non-conference. Okay. And that's gonna it's going to get a little tight. They're playing some really good teams at the Bahamas, at Baja More, which is a great spot. So, you know, they get a couple of tests here. They beat Fordham fairly handily. St. John's is really, really talented this
Looking
year.
Looking forward to following the
How
college
Columbia,
season.
Though? Nice.
Beating Nova. I guess Nova's not going to be that good this year. Right?
They've lost a little bit since Jay left. What was the spread on that game? Do you know?
I don't. I know they won by at least 10, I think, though.
Probably maybe Villanova. Where was the game?
No, actually, I do know because I read this. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Let's say Villanova laying 13.5, something like that.
I think it was 20.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure I saw they were like 20-point underdogs.
We get a little money line action on that?
I didn't touch it, no. I didn't even know about it until after the fact because I follow Columbia on social media. All of a sudden, I'm seeing these people. I'm like,
good
wow, they beat Villanova? Good for them. Steve is in Austin. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Steve.
I was at the Super Bowl when the Jets won, if you can believe that.
Lucky you.
1969. Yes, I was.
Lucky you.
I'd like to find out what is going on with Mosley.
He's hurt. He's hurt.
Hurt what? is he always hurt or just once in a while hurt?
Well, he's had some injuries with the Jets. I mean, remember when he basically had the groin rip off the bone in the first half against the Buffalo Bills back in the day? His first season, week one. Yeah, his first season. That was the second half. The Jets were winning 16-0. At halftime, and then Buffalo scored 17 straight. So let's just get to the end of the road here, Steve. Are you accusing him of just being lazy or milking this, or just that he's banged up a lot? The big difference. So I respect the heck out of him.
I do respect him in that, but I don't understand how all of these guys, and it's not just him, Sauce is another one, they re-up, and all of a sudden, it's like they get these little nagging injuries that never heal.
Well, Sauce didn't re-up. He's still on his rookie deal. But there's some others. I got you. You know, listen, Steven. Thanks for the call there, buddy. I'm going to reach for something Tiki used to always say. And I'm like, whatever. But the more he said it, I'm like, it makes a ton of sense. Tiki would always say that guys who get hurt a lot, and CJ's become one of those guys, they've got bad cells.
Right.
Really.
Well, he's older.
He's a bad cell guy.
Okay. He's been older, so you got to give him a little bit of a break.
I respect him. He's just banged up. I think he wants to be out there.
It is part of the problem. Yeah, I don't think he's dogging it or not going out there. I just think he's older and not as physically, I don't want to say fit.
Resilient.
Yeah, as he once was.
He's
but it is a problem because you do miss his toughness in the middle of that Jets defense. And that's why I have an issue with them going into this weekend against Arizona. I just don't think they're going to be able to. They haven't tackled well. How are they going to be able to stop a team that is a dominant run team?
Well, think about what you were saying to start the show. Like, hey, listen, Jet defense, let's show a little something this year. This week, they're going to run the ball. They're 7th or 8th in the NFL, 150 yards a game. You know what they're going to try to do. So wrap up. Who's their best tackler?
Yeah.
It's probably C.J. Mosley.
Peter is calling from Los Angeles. What's up, Peter?
Hey, what's up, Sal?
How are you, Peter?
I'm doing good, doing good. I'm a big fan. Been listening to you on the overnight for a long time. I'm glad to hear you with BT in the morning.
Thank you.
No problem, man. I do have a bone to pick with you, though.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I went to bed thinking about this because I heard you talking about Pete on air yesterday. And look, I got to be honest with you, Sal. You kind of sound like a Spurn lover. The thing is, I think a lot of Mets fans were still a little bit hurt that he went with Boris last offseason. He rejected our offer, so now we're a little overly critical of him. Like, I compared the numbers with him and Adames, and let me tell you something. In a bad year, this is a bad year, Adames' on-base percentage is .331 in his career year. Pete's is .329 in his worst year. Adames, in his career year, his OPS was .794.
Okay, but
Pete, in a bad year, is .788.
Okay, but
hold, we're not even at playoffs yet.
That's fine. Hold on a second, though. I don't get the score and lover thing because I don't care that Pete didn't take the contract. I just think that Adames is a better ball player. I mean, that's my opinion. I like Alonso, and I'm okay with him coming back. Like, why can't it be that I think Soto and Adames is a better tandem than Soto and Alonso? What's wrong with that?
Because Pete has already proved he can do it in New York. And what Pete, you say he's a one-trick pony, but that one trick is a premier trick.
Okay.
He was what, the fastest to 200 home runs in MLB history? That he has premier power.
How many homers did he hit this year?
34.
And how many did Adames hit?
He hit what, 31 in a bandbox?
No, 32. Okay,
How many
ribbies did Pete have this year? How many ribbies
did he hit in the playoffs? Zero RBIs, Sal. Adames had zero RBIs in the playoffs, Sal. Like, what are we even talking about?
Okay, Peter, that's great.
He saved our season.
Peter, he played in 3 games. I'm asking you a question. How many runs did Pete
drive? Maybe if he played better, they would have played more games.
How many runs did Pete drive in this year versus Adames? It's a very simple question. Like, you're making like I'm a score lover.
It was in the 70s, Sal.
And Adames, I know. It was in the 80s, actually, and thank you for the call, Peter. We appreciate
you. These guys never answer your questions.
I don't understand it. He drove it 112. Like, you're making it like, by the way, Peter, it's fine if you want to say that you would prefer to have Alonso. You can make, as you were starting to do, some legitimate arguments for that. I don't think that Pete Alonso is a better baseball player, as good a baseball player, or as good of an investment as Willie Adames. Doesn't mean I'm right, but it's my opinion. It also doesn't mean that it's baseless or because I'm a score lover, because I'm not. I'll take Alonso back at the right price with Soto. I also would prefer to have Soto and Adames. I think Adames is better. I think he's tougher. How about that? I think he's more of a gamer than Pete. I think he's got better intangibles. Now, Pete is proven in New York, so that's got to value something. And you're right, Pete in the postseason, by the way, until that home run that he hit against Milwaukee, everybody and their mother wanted Pete Alonso out of town. But then he hits that huge home run, and now it's like, well, look at what Pete does in the postseason.
And a few more after that in his defense. Yep,
and he was good in the postseason, which is why BT had to even have the conversation. If not for that, I wouldn't even have the conversation.
I agree. That
I would have hung up on Peter a long time ago. I wouldn't even entertain the thought of bringing Alonso back. You can make the argument. I just think Adames is a better ball player.
Okay, so I'm going to boil it down to this. You guys were going back and forth on the stats, but I think that his name was Pete, too?
Peter.
I think Peter, a good call, love the passion, but I think you're focusing on the wrong thing. Because you're going back and forth talking about home runs. Let's take the 120-ish games that Alonso and Adames don't homer in. Think about that.
Right.
162 game season, and even neither had 40 this year, but I'm just doing round math. Let's say for the other 125 games, who is bringing more to the table in a homerless game? the answer is unequivocally Adams.
Yeah, and it's
weird. Not even close.
Adams has had a unique career, and you brought this
up before. It hasn't been great. I think he's been a little overrated here, but I like him as an all-around ball player.
How do you go from his whole career, 6-4, 2-5, 8-5, like stolen bases, to 21?
Well,
21's an impactful year, stealing 21 bags.
It is, and I brought this up to you, and I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe it's a contract push.
All right.
That maybe. He's like, hey, if I run more and I show that I've got a little more versatility, it's going to look better in the contract room, which, by the way, it does, because we've referenced the fact that he stole 21 bags. The other thing, too, let's face it, you're only allowed 2 disengagements from the rubber.
Right.
So the timing mechanism is totally different. So it's easier to steal.
Yeah,
the bag's a little bigger. It is what it is.
I think the numbers are comparable. Obviously, Adames' value is better because he's a shortstop, but the Mets' case, they wouldn't be using him at shortstop. In other words, when you put up those type of offensive numbers at short, I mean, you're doing something special. Whereas Pete, he's supposed to be a prolific power hitter and at the corner, and that's fine. And I would argue that Pete does what he's supposed to do as well as anybody else as far as providing the power. However, this year, in a walk year, make or break year, and by the way, Pete has consistently now gone down.
Yep.
From forget about where he first started in 2019, but let's go back to 2022. And Alonso plays every day, and you give him credit for that. He went from 40 and 131 and hitting 271 to 46, 118, 217
mm-hmm.
to 34, 88, and 240. Like, he's all over the place, and he's gotten worse in the last couple of seasons, progressively getting worse as he's gotten older. I'm not knocking Pete Alonso. I'm saying I'd rather have Willy Adames, who I think, to your point, can help you in other areas win ball games. I think he's a better baseball player than Pete Alonso. That's it.
That's amazing. I'll reference OPS. I don't reference OPS Plus mm-hmm. as much. That's obviously adjusting to the ball player's park, if I could spit it out. There you go. And this year and last year, his OPS Plus was exactly 123. Now, the year before, when he had 40 and 131 and hit 270, his OPS Plus was 146, which is outstanding. But the last 2 years, it's 123. Again, OPS Plus. And it's the same, and he went from 46 home runs and 118 ribbies in 2023 with an OPS Plus of 123, all the way down to 34 home runs from 46 to 88 RBIs from 118, and he's got the same 123 OPS Plus.
Right.
That confuses me.
Pete is just not... Look, and I can't even say he's not clutch because obviously he hit the most clutch home run I've ever seen with the home run in Milwaukee. Historic. It wasn't just like franchise Mets. It was to do that behind, season on the line, all that. So Pete provides power, and he can be clutch. But overall, if I'm making a bet and investing in something, I personally would invest in Adames. Like, if I ask you, would the Mets be, let's just say, Adames versus Alonso, pound for pound? Mm-hmm. If the Mets signed Adames, would they be losing in the power department?
Yes.
From Pete? Okay.
Of course.
Agreed. They would, even though
no-brainer.
It was just a two
nobody's disputing that. Next.
Correct. Okay. What about the run production element?
Were you going to have him in the order again?
I mean, I would have him probably fifth in that order with Soto. You might be able to put him
fourth.
You can't
put him second?
I don't want to
mess. Oh, this is under the assumption you get Soto, too.
Yeah,
that's right.
I want Lindor,
right.
Soto, Vientos, 1-2-3.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, there's
run generation. That's run scores, RBIs. I'd say slight advantage Adames.
Who's a better hitter, do you think, overall? Average?
Pure hitter?
Yeah.
Better at bat? Adames. Who's better base runner?
You're losing.
Adames.
Yeah, who's a better fielder?
Adames. Although Pete's functional.
Yeah, but Adames is going to go from
okay
short
first.
To third in this spot. And
by the way,
like, I don't even think realistically the Mets are going to get him. If I'm the Yankees, I go all in to get
Adames.
Who
do you think is going to get him? I think the Giants are going to go nuts on him.
Because they need a shortstop.
Yep.
Maybe he prefers, even though he wasn't good defensively this year at short, he probably prefer to play short. I mean, as long as he gets paid, maybe. Who knows? Maybe he wants to be a Yankee because of Jeter. I have no idea. But I do think both New York teams should be in on him. I just think he's a special ball player, whereas Alonso is a special power hitter. So I'd sacrifice some of Pete's power and his prowess in that regard for a better ball player. Rob is in Georgia. What's up, Rob?
Not much. I just have one comment about the Mets and another about the NFL. My one comment about the Mets, unfortunately, you guys stole a lot of my thunder, but I would happen to take Pete Alonso, I think, over Adames. Not that Adames isn't a better player. I just think that Pete's a better fit chemistry-wise for the team. Because really, what would you do with Beatty? And then you have Vientos out of position. That's two two players out of position.
Oh, well, Vientos,
so I think I would stick with Alonzo.
Vientos could play first, and I'm not worried about Beatty. I mean, Beatty would be on the bench.
Trade him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't trade him, he's on the bench. He could be a valuable lefty bat off the bench that maybe could play a little outfield eventually and some third. But I wouldn't worry about Beatty, and thank you for the call, Rob. And I also wouldn't worry about playing Vientos out of position because you're moving him to first where he could be more than serviceable. I think actually you upgrade defensively with Adames at third versus Vientos, and it's probably a wash at first with Vientos versus Pete.
Nah, Pete's better. You got to be fair. That's unfair to Pete. Pete's better than Vientos.
How do you know? We didn't think Vientos was any good, period, in the field. He played third.
Well, I never fed into that narrative that much. I know what everybody was saying, but I watched him. I'm like, yeah. I know what the scouting report, and I'm talking about early. I'm like, I know the scouting report. I'm like, I don't think he's a butcher over here. Number one, I think it's a lot tougher than people think. I think there's still a belief, all right, just give somebody a first baseman's mitt and figure it out. Dude, the footwork, there's something to it. There's something to holding on a runner and having a rocket come at you, especially as a righty, and being able to turn a 3-6-3 double play.
Well, Pete has trouble throwing the ball.
He definitely does have trouble throwing the ball. So he kind of loves it sometimes, like, but he catches everything.
We talk about the four home runs in the postseason. Drop pop up. He's flailing, like, his wrist is not
I don't
right
like his throwing. Arm, but
okay. So let's not overlook it. Like, he's far better than anything that we thought he was going to be, and he has worked his ass off to become a more than serviceable defensive first baseman. Pete is not close to
special. I agree. I'm just trying to give him enough respect where I'm saying until Vientos learns how to play first base, Pete's better.
I understand.
That's all I'm saying.
It might be a learning curve. I mean, I don't know. I need to see it with Vientos. I didn't think Vientos could play third, and he played.
Not many did.
And he was adequate there, so I don't know. We'll see it.
Real quick, Patty, do me a favor. I don't think we've ever asked you for this, but just out of curiosity, Papa, we'll get back to the calls, but Papa, Pete's defensive like metrics. I want to hear it from you. You're good with this stuff as well. Find something fast and give it to us before we get to the next break, please, sir.
He also had some clutch stats because I wanted to ask him to look up the clutch stats. Do you have Adames and Alonzo, Pat, or just Alonzo here?
I've got both.
Okay.
Oh, he's working back there. Okay, I got you.
Fangraphs, who has that stat called clutch, which is how much better or worse a player does in high leverage situations. All qualified hitters in Major League Baseball, Willie Adames was ranked 18th.
Wow.
Pete Alonso was 103rd.
Yikes.
That was just in 2024.
See ya. What about 2023?
The defense rests. So there's something. Now, I had no idea that was going to be the case. And I swear, I'm sitting here holding my breath saying, please don't be higher than 18. Please don't be. I don't want to. I had no idea. But there's something to it about when you just watch Adames. And not that I'm watching every single game. But my God, you feel his impact. That is why. And that's just 1 year. It doesn't mean that Pete was as clutch as you could be in the postseason for a few at bat, like especially the Milwaukee game, eliminating Adames' Brewers. All right, now you have the defensive stuff up there that BT wanted.
Something.
So, I just pulled it up here. So hopefully this is what you're looking for.
You're on Baseball Savant? Where are you at? Just out of curiosity.
Baseball Savant.
Gotcha.
In terms of StatCast fielding value, his run value in 2023 was zero.
Okay.
2024 was -6.
Talking about Pete.
Correct.
Huh.
Outs above average 2023 was -1. Outs above average 2024, -9.
I'm assuming that's not good.
That's not good.
A minus. Yeah, okay.
That's
so,
correct.
Right, and watching him, and again, I don't know these defensive metrics, watching him, like, he's serviceable. He'll make some good plays, which are like, wow, Pete. And then some of the routine stuff, it's like, Pete.
Yeah,
he's good at picking
a
ball, but they're not, like, that's not something that's going to be a significant drop-off to what. I don't know Vientos. We haven't seen him over there nearly enough to make an assessment, but he handled himself pretty well at third base, all things considered. I think he'll be fine.
And he's got more athleticism, too. I think eventually figures, and a better arm, obviously, throwing across the diamond from third. You know, he's hard to, and the numbers did just grade him out, but it's like when you watch him, you know, he looks awkward. And that's why for years I'm like, he stinks at first base. But the more I watch him, I'm like, it doesn't look polished, but he keeps the ball in front
of him. Gets the job done.
Makes the play.
Not pretty, but he gets the job done most of the time.
It's not pretty. But he does catch the baseball.
And I didn't want this to become a, you know, pick on Pete day. That was never the intention here, but I honestly didn't even think it was a big deal saying I'd rather have Adames over Pete. Like, who wouldn't? Apparently, a lot of Met fans still loyal to Pete, which is fine. For me, it's either Soto and Adames or Soto and Alonso. And if it's not that, then the Mets have had a failure of an offseason.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. no matter what. Just take a shot, pass the rest to your entire squad, and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5HourEnergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time for the BT and Sal weekly Friday football picks brought to you by ELEC 825 Building Our Future and by London menswear brand Charles Turwitt. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
For the BT and Sal Perfect Parlay Pick segment, BT has been on fire. Two straight weeks. You hit a two-teamer a couple of weeks ago, a three-team parlay last week. You have now jumped out in front to a 60-point lead. You have 145, BT, ooh, in first place. I am in second with 85 points. And last year's champion, Hoff, is in last with 60 points on the year. Hoff is in Germany with the Giants. Boyle will have his picks and will do so when it is his turn. You know the rules. Two-team 25, three-team 50, four-team 100. BT, take it away.
Yeah, I love this. A little music there, Mr. Kramer. That's
now
my music.
You love it now because you've been hitting.
That's right. No, but I was going to say, even though I'm pretty hot right now, you've won a couple. Yes, Hoff's won a couple. So we're giving some winners out there to our audience. So, all right, number one. So, I'm going three-team right out of the chute. I'm trying to go for it. I'm trying to bury you.
Yeah,
I'm trying to do.
You hit this one, baby.
Be flicking those lights out. Send it Sally home. Number one. All right. The Bears minus six over the Patriots. Now, this one is in Chicago. The Bears have lost a couple straight. The Patriots, this will be their second road game. And, you know, listen. The Patriots, you know, of course, against the Jets, they find a way to beat them. But I think Caleb Williams just outshines Drake May here. I don't really need to overthink this. I don't really know how much pride and care the Patriots currently have. I think there's still an energy around the Bears. I'm going to ride that out. Bears minus six at home. You know, maybe like a 27-13 kind of a game, something like that. Give me Chicago. Number two. All right, so it's a lot of points to lay. Minnesota. Minus 6.5. They are in Jacksonville taking on the Jaguars. Boy, you know, we complain about the Jets here, but how about if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan? The Trevor Lawrence here, I really give you a ton. So it's crazy. And he's not even playing. He's probably out. Now, the Jaguars, I look at the stat. I want to look at something that I can exploit. It's almost too easy. Well, Lawrence is banged up. No, it's got to be deeper than that. The Jaguars are dead last in passing defense. What does that mean? Time to tune up Mr. Jefferson, and he will eviscerate this Jacksonville Jaguars secondary. Minnesota, minus 6.5. Big lay, I get it, over the Jags on the road. And finally, how about the Steelers coming off a bye at the Commanders? The Steelers are getting 2.5. Now, the Commanders are good. This is not about my lack of belief in the Commanders. I don't think there's any, you know, collapse coming. I think there'll be a playoff team. Hell, they might win the division. All right, 50-50 they do. It's also back-to-back road games for the Commanders. They do have a young quarterback. You wonder, you know, is he getting a little tired at the, you know, Jaden Daniels? It's just a longer season, more of a grind. I think it'll be fine big picture, but I do think the Steelers straight up win the game. So if I'm liking the Steelers at plus 2.5, he may as well get a little extra juice and go money line. So I'm going to take the Steelers getting the 2.5 at the Commanders. Finally, Sal and Hoff all the way in Germany and everybody else. In summation, Bears -6 over the Pats. Give me the Vikings laying 6.5 in Jacksonville. Steelers +2.5 at the Commanders.
All right, Patty, what do you got? You got Hoff's picks here that you can read them all for us.
I do have Hoff's picks. And how about in honor of Hoff being in Germany? A little
99 Loft Balloons.
There you go.
This is a German song?
I remember this. She's of German descent, but it was stateside.
Oh, I like the song. I did not
know
it was
a... Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah,
my sister used to love it. I actually hated the song. My sister always used to play it, though.
Great remake. Goldfinger made an American, well, English version.
Oh.
And then the last verse is still in German. But yes, 99 Loft Balloons.
How many he got?
He's going 4.
Oh,
Hoff's going for the jugular.
Of course he is.
He's chasing. He's a 5-teamer last year.
He's in Germany. He's got his schnitzel, he's got his German beer, he wants 4 teams, and he's going to start with the New York Football Giants, laying 6.5 against the Carolina Panthers. Much like Nick Costo said, I like this pick as well. I think the Giants' pass rush is going to be a nightmare. I just think Bryce Young stinks. So he's got the Giants playing this.
By the way, we're concerned with what he's doing, not with what you're thinking necessarily. He's a his.
So he's got the Giants laying the 6.5. Leg 2, he is going with the Cardinals +1.5 against the New York Jets.
Oh, screw him, dude.
Yep,
I hope he has a 5-hour delay getting back to the States.
Oh, that's not nice. That's nasty. All right.
Leg number 3 for Hoff. He is laying the points with another road favorite. That's the Buffalo Bills -4 on the road at the Indianapolis Colts. And then Hoff got some good injury news ahead of that. Michael Pittman out for the Colts. So their receiver core continues to be banged up. He's rolling with Josh Allen and the Bills -4. And then finally, he's going to Sunday Night Football. And he is again laying the points with a road favorite, Lions -3.5. On the road against the Houston Texans. So 4-legger for Hoff. Giants -6.5. Cardinals +1.5. Bills -4. Lions -3.5.
I actually heard a couple wins in there, except that, I don't like the Jets one necessarily. But the other ones I was actually looking at.
Oh, man. It tears me up every week. I'm torn. I'm not going to start chasing points already. It's still too early for that, even at week 10. Plus, we got the Turkey Day teaser coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm going to go 2-teamer, and I'm throwing out. I did the same thing last week, and I ended up, of the 4 picks that I liked, I went 3-1, but of course, the 2 that I had in the perfect parlay, one of which I lost. I'm going to throw out the Giants -6.5 over Carolina, and because I keep doing it with them, and they burn me. So I like the Giants. I can't go -6.5 with the Giants. Just win the game, come back, and then maybe I'll have some belief. The other one that I'm going to toss out, and you'll be happy with me for doing so, I can't pick Arizona, even though that's my gut. I want to root for the Jets, and I could also see getting burned by the Jets in that spot, so I'm getting that. Those two out of the way. They were on my board, out of the way. 2 teams. 1, I'm in agreement with you, BT, and I don't know if we've ever done this before. I love the Steelers. 2.5. I picked against Washington, I think it was last week, I forget, but I've been picking against, maybe it was with the Giants. Exactly. And I lost. They're getting beat. The Steelers are the better coach team. Steelers are tougher. Washington's good. Jaden, I respect them. They're a little over their heads right now. Steelers will punch them back down to earth and get the win on the road in Washington. The more tougher, better coach, more physical team, that defense will slow down Washington's offense and be able to score some points against their D. Washington's lucky to beat the Giants. Steelers are better. Give me the Steelers +2.5. So we're in agreement there. The other one, I just want to get points on the board here. I want to win. I think Miami's due to get on the board. I'm going to Monday night. Dolphins on the road against the Rams. I know the Rams have been playing much better. I think Miami, though, in that building, you know, to worry about weather and all that. Tua being healthy, the offensive weapons. I think Miami finds a way to get a win. They're getting a point. I don't think the Rams are as good as they've been playing recently. So give me the Dolphins +1. Against the Rams in Los Angeles, and the Steelers on the road +2.5. 2 dogs for me. 2 road dogs. Steelers, Miami, trying to get me that 25 points left to close that gap. As for the money lines, I'm going to go Giants, and I am going to go Arizona to win. That's only 5 points, so even though I want the Jets to win, I still, my gut says Arizona.
Okay.
So Giants, maybe I get an extra 5 points on you because I'm sure you're going to be picking the Jets. I'm going to go Giants and Arizona for the money line straight up.
I'm going to take the Giants and the Jets. A little home cooking, baby. A little home flavor.
All right, Patty, what does Hoff have for the money line picks?
Hoff's, Hoff's aligned with you. He's going Giants and the Cardinals, which I think are the correct picks.
Which, there you go, Boyle getting his opinion on
there.
Look, I'm going to be mad at myself if all four of these hit, because a part of me was thinking, go all four, go big.
It's the wrong approach. It's too early to start going for Hail Marys.
But I don't do that. No, but just my gut as far as liking these games. And I'm
but all the other guts you had so far. I mean, you had a million guts with the Giants.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why that was the first one that I threw out. And then I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to take the Giants out, might as well take the Jets out, too. Because sometimes with those, we're too close to
100%. It. 100%. We overthink it.
Yeah, exactly.
No
so
doubt.
Take that out. Let me go with my two gut feels that I know are winning, Steelers and the Rams. All right. We'll come
I got
back.
A quick question for you. If the Giants were playing anybody but Carolina, would you pick them to win?
Probably not.
Even the Patriots?
At this point, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't know
if you could justify it, right?
Well, I've been burned by them for 2 years in a row. I keep picking this damn team. And they should have covered last week, and I would have had a perfect parlay. Hey, look, it adds up. I know a two-teamer, check it down a little bit, but they're not easy to hit either. But if you get it, those 25ers could add up over the course of the season.
I'm up, 65?
You're up 60, so I was doing the math before. 60 points.
It's healthy.
It is, but, I mean, it's a three-teamer, you had 50 points, so all of a sudden, it was a 10-point.
Understood. Still a lot of football to go. I'm not gloating yet. I like the lead.
Hoff won last year because he hit a five-teamer.
I know he did.
So it's not unthinkable to imagine hitting a four-teamer at some point.
Because we got rid of the five-teamer.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because that's just like.
Because we felt like, did he backdoor the win? Is that what we felt?
Oh, no, he just kept going five every week. Five, five, five. Hey, you hit one, you won that rules. But I also think it became boring at some points. All right.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Pete is calling from Union Beach. What's up, Pete?
Hey, I called a while back. We talked about Pete Alonso's contract.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember.
You probably don't. It's all right. You guys, you remind me of my my friend Brian. It's grass is always greener thing with this Alonso thing. He's a big Alonso hater too, but
I'm not an Alonso hater at all. I would have Alonso back. The way I said it, Pete, and I'll let you make your point here, just to be clear, though, I said I would rather have Soto and Adames than Soto and Alonso, but Alonso would be my plan B to Adames.
So you guys said something before we left, like Adames is better. So I will agree with you on some. Overall, baseball, obviously he steals bases and he's probably a better fielder. But, hitting-wise, he's worse than Alonso.
How so?
I mean, his batting average is worse. He doesn't hit as many home runs. He doesn't drive as many runs. And extra base hits, Alonso has more.
Well, where are you getting that from? Are we talking about the same Willie Adames?
Yeah, baseball reference.
Okay, so what was Pete Alonso's batting average this year?
Go ahead, you tell. Because look, this year Adames had a very.
You go ahead.
Are you all right? You okay?
What?
No, you. You're talking over me.
What's
you
going
okay?
on?
I asked you a question. What's Alonso's batting average this year? Do you have the answer? Are you okay? Do you have the answer? Are you okay?
I'm all right. Answer
the question. What? Can you answer?
240. 240.
Oh, Adames hit 250, so you're 0 for 1. What just happened there?
We
do appreciate him checking
in. That should be the name of our show.
What just happened here? All right, we're going to finish up on the phones in just a second. 888-808-1019. Did you see the Wink Martindale comments from the other day?
I did. Talk about he was basically talking smack. Yeah, I saw it.
What'd you make of that?
Classless. I mean, take the high road.
Well, I don't think Wink Martindale is aware that there is a high road to be taken.
Yeah, well, he should investigate finding one.
It's why he's out of here. It's why he's never gotten a head coaching job. We didn't mention that, so I'm just kind of rehashing the week a little bit and getting to that point. And by the way, Michigan's defense is no good anyway, so what's he talking about? Taking shots at the Giants and, it's better than being 2-7, whatever. That's one thing. I know you were busy last night and know what happened in the game. Did you happen to watch any of it?
Which one?
The football game last night?
I listened to it because I had a pretty lengthy drive home. I listened to it more on the radio.
You didn't hear Al Michaels at all?
I read what he said, and I know about the referees, and he's disgusted.
Oh, okay. Well, but I just, in general. See, I know you ripped on Costas, and I was a little easier on
that. I think we ripped on him so hard we forced him into retirement.
I'm sensitive to this because, and remember, I just went back last weekend, and I got another big weekend on tap of finding other old school stuff, whether it's WrestleMania 3 or 1990 through 93 World Series. Yeah. But I watched a lot of Michaels in his prime and Costas doing those games that, like, there are certain guys that should be, while they can be criticized, it should be off limits to put the pedal to the metal and rip them. And now, at the same breath, I was making a note of saying, I want to praise Michaels. I think he's fine. And then I continued to watch the game, and there is clearly a lack of energy and a slowdown.
Yeah.
It's evident with Al Michaels, who's, what, 80-something years of age?
Is he that old?
I don't know. Can you look up how old that is? I mean, what is he? I mean, he's not 60. What are we looking at with Michaels? 75?
He's got to be mid-70. 80-something just seems too old.
Costas, I know, is younger. I feel like he's younger. It looks a lot younger. How old is Al Michaels? You know, Patty?
Al Michaels is 79.
See, Al's got to shave the hair. He's got a he's a hanger-on.
Turns 80 next week.
Hanger-on, I like that.
He is.
He turns 80 next week. He's 17. Like, wow. So he still sounds good.
Yeah.
But there's the energy that when a big play is there. And here's where it really hit me. Where this morning I'm listening to the morning show, and Boomer and Gio are playing the same call, but from Ian Eagle.
That's who I was listening to in my car coming back.
Dude.
Ian's the best.
It's night and day. But this is Al Michaels, like legend Al Michaels. And he's still good, and his voice brings me back, and I love him.
Me too.
But it's not comparable. So maybe somebody should have said, hey, you know, 79, 80, your better days are behind. Maybe we'll go in a different direction. But I just hate that we've come to a point, and I know I'm criticizing now, but that we rip on Costas and Michaels, two freaking absolute legends who, yeah, are past their prime and still are serviceable, but clearly not the same as they were. But I just hate the criticism of both those guys. So lay off Al Michaels and Bob Costas.
You know, I don't mind you getting on that soapbox there. I respect it. And I was very critical of Costas, who was just not good. And I'll just keep it moving from there. And I've been critical of, to an extent, respectfully, of Al Michaels the last couple of years. Remember the crazy Jaguars game? Like, there was just no emphatic punctuation.
I know.
And fans certainly of that team deserve that. So I'm kind of in between because I do believe in grace periods for aging. Like, let's be sensitive to that. Let's be humane.
Yeah.
You know, but they're also getting paid. I mean, Al Michaels from Amazon is, I think it's like $30 million, dude.
Which is, I don't even want to say it's a bad hire because they wanted to bring attention and they got the guy who was the best. But NBC actually did the right thing here.
They did.
Saying, like, hey, we love you, Al.
It's time to move on. It's Tirico's turn. I don't mind that. Yeah. The other thing, too, is, you know, and I do think there's a big difference between baseball and football. And my biggest gripe with, first of all, I will air this criticism. Bob Costas is pompous. I don't think Al Michaels comes across as pompous.
I could understand that.
Okay. And when you're watching a baseball series, when there's so many, and there's some down periods in football, but it's really in between the play. Baseball, there could be seven or eight foul balls in a row, and there's a lot of inaction. And, you know, what used to make Bob Costas great was the storytelling and weaving in the history of the game and the fabric of the game. And I cherish that. I love that growing up. But number one, the game's faster with the pitch clock. And he's too preachy, and I don't want to get preached to with my age. I'm done.
Did you read his retirement thing when he said he's retiring from calling games?
I glossed over it, but I didn't really care to dive into it, quite frankly.
But there was a line there that I liked. No, there was one line he said.
Screw you, BT.
No. Something like, I don't want to hit below my career average.
You know, hey, Mickey Mantle. Did he reference Mickey Mantle?
He might have. I didn't see that specifically. Wasn't that one of his guys? I mean, he loved Mantle.
Oh, he loved Mickey. I mean, that's why I'm bringing it up. Yeah. It would have been very interesting to go full circle. It's also a little bit too arrogant. Even though I've been very critical, I'll do it for Bob because I do respect his body of work. Though the last couple of years, he's changed. Mickey, I got to be honest. Mickey Mantle's biggest, you know, lament in terms of baseball was that he hung around too long and his career average sunk below 300.
There you go.
And anybody who saw Mickey Mantle play knows he's not a 290, he's a 300 plus hitter. And I think Bob, maybe without saying it, was basically saying, if I do this a little bit more, I'm going below three bills, and I'm not a below three bills guy, and he's not.
I just feel bad. The layoff, even last night, just on social media, whatever. Just, we get it, but you need to, come on. All right.
BT People have said, gotten very crass, very rude.
Jason is calling from Cranford. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Random thing. BT, I think you and I might have been in the same graduating class from Marist.
What year, Jay?
Class of 96.
Let's go, baby. Red Fox up. Yes, sir.
Red Fox is
nice.
Poughkeepsie all the way.
No doubt. So,
this had me, the Aaron Boone re-up had me thinking a little bit about, because he's a by-the-book guy, but are we starting to potentially see a change in managerial styles? For a number of years, everything was so very heavy analytics-driven. And then this year, we kind of saw two instances where there was a little bit of a deviation. You saw Mendoza you know, make the switch in the lineup, namely moving Lindor to the leadoff spot, mm-hmm. which was a big no-no previously. It was always Lindor had to hit two no matter what. And then the comments made by Dave Roberts about how he managed his bullpen throughout the playoffs. So could we be at a point where it's a little bit of an inflection point that maybe there's a bit of a mix of using analytics the way it was previously as a scouting tool, but a little bit more of a gut feel?
You know, I still don't think so. I think it's an excellent point, but I trace things like this back to the lowest levels of any sport, but development, right? And eventually the scouting of young players. And even if the older style, more of the gut reaction, begins to re-infiltrate the game or permeate the game again, which I wish it would, I don't think it will, I think it's going to be offset because even if it tries to, because every ounce of energy and dollar spent on scouting, it's all analytically driven. Like if you don't throw X, you're not. I actually got this is actually very disheartening. This didn't apply when I was getting recruited. Nobody. There is a, I won't bore you with the details, but there is a whole thing like if you're a righty pitcher and you're coming out of high school and you don't throw at least, I believe, 92, I think was the number, you're not going D1. Like it is so, they actually do it like tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, D1, D2, D3. If you're not at least 6'2 and at least 210, you're not a first baseman or 60-yard dash. Like there's just no account for just being a baller and being able, like Pete Rose, to elevate to the stage. So I'd like to think, but I don't think enough where it's going to be very obvious.
Me either, but I do think we're headed in, at least in certain spots, potentially headed in a different, potentially better direction.
You have an example or just an overriding?
I think that the one-way, one-track-minded analytical nerds are at the very least starting to learn and be open to the idea of, yes, let's get all the information possible. Yes, let's hire somebody who is going to use this information, but also let them apply the human element to the game. Like David Stearns, and look what the Mets have done this year. They're a great example of how you balance it. Like analytically, Jose Iglesias was out of big league baseball. And now, by the way, not only is he back in baseball and had a successful year, he'll be hanging out with Boomer and Gio at their live event.
I saw that. That's awesome.
The Paramount on Long Island.
That's going to be a fun night, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I was like, wow, my mom might want to go to that now. See Jose Iglesias there perform, OMG Live. Yeah, live on stage. Anyway, so that'd be nice. But the point is, I think you see a guy who's very smart in Stearns, also understanding that there's got to be a balance. And Mendoza, while using data and analytics, also managed with his gut. More managers, more teams will start to do that the more they see others have success. It's always been about a balance. I think we started to get away from that with the launch angle nonsense.
But they're still teaching that. That's all they... Not everybody...
I know, but the rules now being put in place could also change things, too, with the bases and the running game being a factor. I think that we're slowly getting back to maybe some parts of the game that we used to love.
Be nice. I mean, if I ran a team, I would draft, honestly, I would obviously catcher's different, first base a little different, pitcher's different. I would draft all shortstops, and a lot of teams do this. You know, 6'2", 6'3", shortstops at the college and high school level, and eventually through the war of attrition, somebody's playing short, and those guys who were drafted as shortstop, eventually he's my center fielder, he's my left fielder, he's my third baseman, and when you do that, guess what you have?
Athletes.
You have seven or eight athletes around the diamond.
Athletes and ball players.
With good
exactly
arms.
Right. All right, fun week, BT.
Awesome week, dude.
Enjoy
great
the
week.
Weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much. Go Jets.
Thanks to everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Boyle filling in for Hoff, who's in Germany as well. Big Sunday coming for our football teams. We'll be back Monday morning, 10 a.m., to talk about it. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.